It is very interesting to note here that at the main entrance to that vast enclosure, they had erected a rather large stone figure. Large, of course, in comparison with the size of their presences, called the Sphinx, which strongly reminded me of the statue I had seen on my first descent in person to your planet in the city of Samnios, just opposite the enormous building belonging to the Learned Society of Akhaldans, which was then known as the principal cathedral of this society. The statue I saw in the city of Samnios, and which greatly interested me, was the emblem of the society and was called Conscience. It represented an allegorical being, each part of whose planetary body represented one part of the planetary body of some definite form of being existing on the Earth, which, according to the notions crystallized in the three brain beings there, expressed to perfection one or another being function. The mass of the planetary body of this allegorical being was represented by the trunk of a terrestrial being of definite form called Bull. This Bull trunk rested on the four legs of another form of being existing there called Lion, and to the part of the trunk called the back were attached two large wings, similar in appearance to those of a powerful bird being breeding there called Eagle. And at the place where the head should have been, there were fixed to the bull's trunk, by means of a piece of amber, two breasts representing the breasts of a virgin. When I became interested in this strange allegorical figure on the continent of Atlantis and inquired about its meaning, one of the learned members of the Great Society of Men Beings gave me the following explanation. This allegorical figure is the emblem of the Society of Akhaldans and serves as a stimulus for all its members constantly to recall and awaken in themselves the impulses corresponding to those it represents. And he went on to say, each part of this allegorical figure arouses in every member of our society, in the three independently associating parts of his common presence, that is, in the body, the thoughts, and in the feelings, a shock calling forth corresponding associations for the separate realizations, which in their totality alone make it possible for us to rid ourselves little by little of the maleficent factors present in every one of us. Both those factors transmitted by heredity and those we have ourselves acquired, which gradually engender within us undesirable impulses, as a consequence of which we are not what we might be. This emblem of ours constantly reminds us and indicates to us that it is possible to attain freedom from those factors only if we unremittingly compel our common presences to think, feel, and act under all circumstances in accordance with what is expressed in this allegorical figure. And all of us who are members of the Society of Akhaldans understand our emblem in the following way. The trunk of this allegorical being, represented by that of a bull, means that the factors crystallized in us, both inherited and personally acquired, which engender in our presences those maleficent impulses, can be regenerated only by indefatigable labors. Those labors for which, among all the beings of our planet, the bull is particularly fitted. That this trunk rests on the legs of a lion means that these labors must be performed with the awareness and feeling of courage and of faith in one's might, that property possessed in the highest degree among all the beings of the earth by the being to whom these legs belong, the mighty lion. the wings of the strongest and highest soaring of birds, the eagle, attached to the bull's trunk, constantly remind the members of our society that during these labors and while experiencing this inner psychic property of self-respect, one must meditate unceasingly on questions not concerned with the manifestations directly required for ordinary being existence. As regards the strange image of the head of our allegorical being in the form of the breasts of a virgin, this means that love should predominate always and in everything during the inner and outer functionings evoked by one's consciousness. Such a love as can arise and exist only in the presence of concentrations formed in the lawful parts of every whole responsible being in whom the hopes of our common Father are placed. And that the head is fixed to the trunk of the bull with amber signifies that this love should be strictly impartial, that is to say, completely separated from all the other functions proceeding in every whole responsible being. In order, my boy, for you to understand the meaning symbolized by the material known there as amber, I must add that amber is one of the seven planetary formations in the arising of which the omnipresent active element, Okidanoch, enters with its three separate, independent, and sacred parts in equal proportions. And in the process of planetary actualization, these intraplanetary and surplanetary formations serve to impede the independent flow of the three separate streams of these three localized sacred parts. At this point in his tale, Beelzebub paused for a moment, as if pondering something, and then continued. While I was describing to you what I then saw on a part of the surface of your planet, still surviving today, where there existed certain direct descendants of the members of that truly great learned society of Aholdans, there were gradually revived in me, as a result of the manifestations of my being reason, and due to the effect of various associations aroused by the visual impressions of the environment of that region, all the scenes and the whole series of associative thoughts evoking a certain being experiencing of mine that occurred during my last stay there when I visited contemporary Egypt and was sitting one day absorbed in thought at the foot of one of those ancient structures which have chanced to survive from that period and are called today the pyramids. And in the general functioning of my reason, there proceeded, among other things, the following reflections. Good. If not even one of the benefits for ordinary being existence formerly attained by the reason of the beings of the continent of Atlantis has come down by inheritance to contemporary beings of your planet, this could perhaps be logically justified by the simple fact that for cosmic reasons, neither issuing from the three-brained beings there, nor in any way depending upon them, the second great cataclysm, not according to law, occurred, in which not only this continent itself perished, but also almost everything existing upon it. But Egypt, was not its magnificence still quite recent? There is no denying it. As a result of the third small catastrophe to that ill-fated planet, and of the fifth, about which I will speak later, this part of its surface was covered with sand. Nevertheless, the three-brained beings dwelling there did not perish, but were only scattered over various other parts of the same continent. And so, in whatever new conditions they found themselves, there should have been preserved in their presence the crystallized results of the factors perfected for normal being logical mentation, transmitted to them by heredity. Well, my boy, after these distressing altusori of mine, or as your favorites would say, sorrowful reflections, I wish to clarify for myself the true cause of this lamentable fact. And as a result of careful investigations, I finally understood and became aware with my whole being that this abnormality is due exclusively to one aspect of the chief particularity of their strange psyche. That particularity, which has become a completely crystallized, inseparable part of their common presence, and serves as a factor for the periodic arising in them of the urgent need to destroy everything outside themselves. For when this particularity of their psyche, horrifying for every being with reason, reaches its climax, and those three brain beings begin to manifest it outwardly, that is to say, when they begin to carry out the process of reciprocal destruction on some part of the surface of their planet, then at the same time, just in passing, as it were, with no deliberate aim, and even without what is called organic need, they also destroy everything that comes within range of their organ of sight. At the height of these psychopathic paroxysms, the beings between whom this terrible process takes place destroy not only each other's intentionally produced objects, but also works of the beings of former ages that have chanced to survive and reach them intact. And so it was, my boy, that at the period of my fourth sojourn on the surface of your planet, and after my arrival in the country now known as Egypt, I stayed there several days among the remote descendants of the members of the Learned Society of Akhaldans, and became acquainted with certain results of their being park dog duty that had survived for the welfare of their descendants. Then, accompanied by two members of our tribe, I went to the southern countries of this continent, where, with the help of the local three-brain beings, I captured the desired number of ape beings. Having accomplished this, I signaled telepathically to our ship Occasion, which descended to us, it must be said, on the first very dark night. And when we had loaded the ape beings into the special compartment of the ship that had been arranged for Gonahuahaha under his own direction, we reascended to the planet Mars. And 3 Martian days later, taking the apes with me, I ascended on the same ship to the planet Saturn. Though we had decided to carry out the experiments on the apes only in the following year, when they would have become thoroughly acclimatized and adapted to their new conditions of existence, I ascended to the planet Saturn without delay, because at my last meeting with Gonahuahaha, I had promised him to be present at a family solemnity that was soon to take place. This family solemnity, called a Chri Chachli, was the consecration by the beings around Gonahuahaha of his recently arisen first heir. I had promised to attend this family solemnity in order to take upon myself toward this first heir of his, what is called the Alna Turonian being duty. Here it is interesting to remark that the ceremony for assuming this being duty also took place in ancient times among the three brain beings of your planet, and has even come down to your contemporary favorites. But just as in everything else, they have kept only the external form of this serious and important procedure. The beings, who, as it were, take this obligation upon themselves, are called by your contemporary favorites, godfathers and godmothers. This first heir of Gornahuahaha was then named Rauch.